Hello, and welcome to the DXC World News Network. My name is Jay McCallan, and this is Breaking News. Today, we got a crazy update from Daybreak Games, the curators of Magic Online, and that came in the form of a blog post. That was that pre-modern debuts in Contraption, Magic Online's format lab. So today, Daybreak posted this blog post announcing a new format, a rotating curation of formats that they're calling Contraption. And this is going to be an officially supported pre-modern on Magic Online, which is crazy. And because of that breaking news, I decided to bring in some of the best and brightest minds to discuss with me today. So on my panel today, we have our wonderful overlord, Nick Mayo. We have Aiden Johnson, the most joyful waffle. And we also have Billy. Everybody say hi.
Hey, everyone.
How we doing?
Sax over here. I don't know who Nick Mayo is. Nick Mayo lost his name in a game versus Nick Penn.
So initial just like first thoughts right off the cuff. How we feel? How do we feel about official support of pre-modern?
I think it's pretty huge. A lot of folks want to play on Modo and they either can't or just don't because they feel like the community leagues are a little too hard to join. I don't think they are, but some folks don't enjoy the hurdle of getting into those leagues. They don't want to use Discord. They just want to log on, click a button, and play some pre-modern. And I think, you know, this is definitely the first step to that. And I think it's huge for that specific crowd.
Yeah, the community series has been a fantastic thing that's been run by, obviously, the community to get pre-modern onto Magic Online. But there is friction. And in a world where everybody just wants endless dopamine hits for absolutely no sunk cost, I think this is definitely a fantastic addition. So now
TikTok
you can just
magic.
Yeah, exactly. Now you can just get your TikTok and YouTube Shorts doses of pre-modern. Aiden, you've been really grinding the leagues as well.
Yeah, so the pre-modern coming to MTGO proper is kind of like the worst kept secret in Magic. They had sort of been like soft launching it for a little while now. And I actually really like how they're doing it where it's rotating. I think that that's definitely a positive versus like it being a negative. They mention in the article that they're going to like gauge exactly how well it does around the release of Lorwyn to see if it'll return for a second contraption cycle, they say, or whether it's going to be replaced with something else. And I love pre-modern, but I actually hope it gets replaced with something else because I really like the idea that they're like bringing in community formats or like less popular formats and introducing people to them, but then not putting them on full time so they don't like become stale to the average player. Like, I think it's what they should have done with Dual Commander versus having Dual Commander on full time. Because when Dual Commander was first launched onto MTGO, it was like really popping off and people were loving it. But it kind of sort of tapered off. And now I think they fire like a couple of challenges at like 16 players every week. But I they're giving like a casual league to start with, which is what they have right now. That launched today with the announcement. So you can do, they're like 60 play points to enter, which is much cheaper than a normal league. It's almost half the cost. The pricing is not quite as good, so you're not going to get like the grinders. The EV, I guess, is not very great. So the grinders are not going to like play pre-modern over doing something else. And like that allows people who want to play the format to kind of get their foot in. And then towards the end of the cycle, they're going to add like leagues proper and then a challenge or two. And then hopefully at least it'll rotate out and then they'll bring another format in and it can kind of do the same thing. So I like the addition as long as it remains a rotating thing is my TLDR.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. It's actually, we can dive back into the blog post real quick and give people. So the whole rotating format, I guess, is going to be called Contraption, which is something that was kind of spoiled by the client, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And it was really interesting. At first, there was some speculation from people being like, oh, Contraption, like, Daybreak is going to try and, seize control of pre-modern, and because people saw that it had the pre-modern ban list and the pre-modern card legality, and people thought that they were trying to like rename pre-modern to this contraption, but contraption is just going to be like the meta format that contains all of the rotating formats, which I agree is a really cool idea for these smaller formats, which tend to have a spike when they first, like people first get into a new space for brewing and they love it. And then people kind of solve, and whether it's actually quote unquote solved or not, but people kind of get their fill and then tend to move on to something else. And this gives them that constantly refreshing hit of something new. So to quote the blog post, a normal contraption format cycle will flow like this. Casual rooms will be on throughout to help find other interested players. A friendly week, which as Aiden alluded to, is going to be a low stakes league, as well as casual rooms to wade into the format. A few weeks of normal leagues that use the same structure, those are the what 100 play points to enter leagues, and then more competition near the end, depending on the popularity of the format. This will consist of either trials or challenges. And in general, we'll look to swap out the format every 3 to 6 weeks. Gives people long enough to acquire the cards and generate ideas, but short enough to avoid the format getting too stale. And then they go on to announce that pre-modern is officially the first contraption format. Yeah, I think the whole contraption thing, I think you summed it up pretty perfectly, Aiden, is fantastic. I think it will get people interested in stuff and kind of, but not just like hammering home, oh, there's a pre-modern, a challenge every, couple of days or whatever. And I think that would maybe get people a little, it would be a little too much, at least for now. Also, huge shout out to Daybreak for crediting Martin Berlin. They go into kind of the details of the format and talk about, they share the Pre-Modern Magic website. They share a video that Martin made. They clearly respect the community, and they have no, Daybreak has no interest in being like, oh, we made this format that is, from Fourth through Scourge. Like, they see from, that they are adding support to something that people already clearly want. I think that is definitely.
I thought that was really cool. I didn't expect them to actually do that. They even linked to like, I think they linked to the site, they linked to the video, they name dropped Martin himself. Like, it was very clear that they either already are familiar with the format or at least did a lot of research into figuring out, where did this format come from, who made it. Oh no, let's give credit where credit's due, and that really huge props to them for that.
Yeah, so definitely is awesome. So we have some dates that is for contraption for this first phase, which is going to be until December 17th, so roughly a little more than a week from now. We're going to have pre-modern friendly leagues, and then there's going to be two regular leagues. I guess All Access is coming back to Modo, which, if you don't know, is what, $25 usually, and gets you access to every single card on Magic Online. I tend to do these when, like, I don't play a ton of Magic Online, but I always love to play the Vintage Cube, and I'll generally, when they do these All Access passes, I'll spring for them, because for, the cost of like a couple of leagues, and they generally get you a couple of event entries, it's a super sick deal to try out decks that you, especially if you don't pay for a rental service on Magic Online. You can try out a ton of decks. You can just play different formats. I'll use it to play a bunch of formats that I don't normally play. So anyways, there's going to be two regular leagues, one during All Access, the other one afterwards, both on the same schedule or the same structure as other formats leagues. So that'll be December 17th through January 2nd for the Pre-Modern Holiday League, and then the second league being January 2nd through January 20th. And then there's going to be Trials and Challenge 32s that will be announced in the future during the holidays. And yeah, so it looks like all in all, this is going to last about until the middle towards the end, so January 20th, and then they're going to reassess whether people enjoyed it enough and whether there was enough demand to immediately return and do a second contraption cycle with pre-modern, or if they're going to immediately jump to something else. I am kind of curious. Obviously, we're here to talk about pre-modern and the effects of all of this, but I'm kind of curious what else they might do, because, I mean, not to stroke the ego of pre-modern too much, but who else really does it like us? Like, are they going to have a fucking Tiny Leaders? Right. Like, leagues
Tiny
or
leaders
whatever?
Back, maybe?
I don't know. Right. Like, do we have any ideas what other formats might come to contraption?
So, on... And I'm too much of a Zoomer to have a lot of information about this, but on Modo, they used to have, like, flashback standard events.
Oh,
which
okay.
Is, like... You would be given a random, like, pre-con deck from a certain standard era and then play against other decks in that era. So I would like to see either, like, flashback standard or, like, flashback extended as a thing that they could rotate in.
That'd be really
kind of
cool.
Like, different selections. Like, they could do, like, I don't know, cons, like Theros Cons era standard.
Oh,
or,
yeah,
like,
hell yeah.
The extended just after the break-off of pre-modern, so all the people who want to play with Tarmogoyf from Cryptic Command can do it again. And, like, kind of, sort of like how Yu-Gi-Oh! Has all their old formats that are just, like, past things, but, like, having them be in this rotating thing so that, like, it doesn't, people don't just get stuck doing the one thing over and over again.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was thinking, but I do agree that, like, there isn't really another community format that, like, does it nearly as well as pre-modern does in terms of, like, diversity and, like, the amount of content and stuff that's out there. Like, I don't think that the player base would be there if they did, like, Peasant or something as the other format.
Like, or, I mean, there's the one other one that jumped to my mind was, like, Vintage 30, but that also just doesn't work. Like, right. You know, are you basing paper prices for your, you know, like you know, but I mean, you could play fucking Power in your Vintage 30 deck, right, if you're basing it on Moto prices.
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of that they might do, like, it depends on how deep they want to go, right? There's other formats. There's Pre-Fire. There's, like, Classic Legacy. There's Millennium.
Yep.
There are these other formats that are, like, somewhat pre-modern like, but I don't know. Like, do they even know what those formats are? Do they want to host it? I don't know.
Yeah.
No clue.
I could see, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of people, like, pre-modern, I think what makes pre-modern so unique is it's so deep of a format that you can get into pre-modern and then, I mean, everybody that I know that I've gotten into pre-modern has started playing the format and then just immediately, like, picked up, you know, moved around to, like, three or four different decks, picked up a you know, and just want to go deeper and deeper into the format. And it's not really just like a, oh, you know, I got my itch, I cast, you know, Tarmogoyf or whatever, and then I want to move on. And so I don't know if those other formats really have the staying power, or not even the staying power, but just like the allure of getting people into the formats. Because I think that there's something to be said about a lot of those formats where I think so much of it is nostalgia, but the gameplay is good, but it's... I'm always, just every single time I play a match of pre-modern, I am always surprised at how good the gameplay is. Because I've said it before that, and I mean, I guess both of you are actually the exact same way as me, that, like, none of us have nostalgia for this time period. None of us were playing Magic during this time period.
Literally every card in the format was printed before I was born.
Exactly.
I have zero nostalgia for...
So, it's not the fact that, oh, we're just boomers who are, you know, nostalgic for this time period, and that's why we play the format. We play the format because it's genuinely good.
Yep.
And so, I don't know if, you know, the pre-fire or the Millennium or any of those formats are quite as good. Granted, I haven't really dived deep into them, and I don't know. I guess not playing much Magic on, or I play most of my Magic on in paper, and it's definitely, if you want to play eight different formats, that's a pretty large investment. It's definitely a lot easier on Modo. So I think with, especially if you have a rental service, so having this rotating cast of formats, it definitely would be easier to get into more formats. But personally, I get kind of overwhelmed by like having a shit ton of formats that I'm trying to be invested in all at once. So I don't know. I think there are definitely positives and negatives. I would be interested to see if, you know, if we immediately went from pre-modern into millennium, does that have 1/10 of the amount of interest as pre-modern had, you know, in the
right.
the cycle before of contraption. I think the numbers will be interesting. And on top of that, which actually this is a good segue into kind of the next thing I want to talk about, of the people that maybe played pre-modern in contraption and then, you know, are potentially going to play into another format, how many of them were pre-modern players previously versus new players that were just like, oh, this is what Magic Online is offering me, so I'm going to play it. You know, they're just Magic Online players.
If I can cut you off.
Yeah, no, go for it. By all means.
My data-oriented brain, I spent a lot of today, well, one, doing schoolwork, but in the background, I was in the streams of, like, big Twitch streamers who were trying out pre-modern. Like, I was in Caleb D's stream. I was in a couple other people. Mm-hmm. But I kind of wanted to see, like, what Twitch chat's reaction to it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably say, like, 80%, if not more, of the chatters were seeing pre-modern probably gameplay for the first time or one of the first times and had very little format knowledge. And then probably, like, 70% of that 80% were saying, like, the format looks really cool and it's something that they want to try out.
Hell yeah. This is our so
I think
reporter.
I think, like, the reason why I'm really excited, especially for it being rotating, is because I think at its core, pre-modern will always, or at least should always, be a paper format first, and the introducing people to it and then getting rid of it is, like, kind of giving people their free first hit, and then it's like, oh, you need to go play in paper to go beyond that. Which is why I really like that it's rotating out, because that way you're not just getting a bunch of people who are like grinders that only play MTGO pre-modern and don't really like ever go actually support their local communities and like local game stores through the format.
Now, but call me crazy or question my reading comprehension skills, but I swear somewhere in that article they mentioned something about a pre-modern dedicated space in February. Something like that.
So,
I want to see if I can find the
exact
line.
Near the end of the article, they say that, or in the middle of the article, I think it was, they definitely do say that they are interested in running, where was it? So, because you are totally right, or...
Okay,
cool.
I'm not gaslit.
Yeah, we aren't able to provide pre-modern its own room. So, all right, I'll back up. Given the growth of the format in the last few years, particularly at in-person conventions, cough, you know, like LobsterCon, you know, We Run.
You're welcome.
You know, yeah, you're welcome. We believe pre-modern will generate enough play to become a regular format. So they are interested potentially in making it a regular thing. But due to some technical concerns, we weren't able to provide pre-modern its own room until at least late February. So, I agree with everything you're saying, Aiden, that, like, but it seems like Daybreak might not. But I think that there is definitely, there is some reason to keep it as just, like, a rotating thing and just sprinkle in, these events from time to time. Something that some other people were saying and talking about was that if there's this constant, you know, pre-modern has always been a community format. It's from the start, not only is it by the community, but it's a community format that is for the community. It is, in every sense of the word, just it's made by the community. Without other people, we wouldn't have anything. What I'm trying to say is it's the corny part, but it's like it's the gathering that it's all about. And if you're just hitting nonstop queues for Moto leagues, you're not engaging with the community. You're not engaging in those cool events. And that's definitely a downside. So
yeah, I would say that I think that there's a distinction to be made between when they say give pre-modern its own room. It's not totally clear what that means, because like at the moment on Moto, like Momir Basic has its own room in specialty play, where like you have the rules enforcement for it and you can find other people who've made rooms. Does having its own room mean there's going to be full-time leagues with prizing and challenges, or does it just mean that it's going to have a section with pre-modern rules enforcement?
True. Very true. So yeah, we shouldn't jump the shark too much on like what that necessarily means. But I do think at the end of the day, my read of this, and I've seen some far more negative reads, is that I think it's just if we can get people... So the pre-modern community has always been afraid of, you know, EV hounds, people that are sharks, people that are angle shooting, people that are just there to win prizing and not give anything back. And I think that you're always going to have some people that act in that manner no matter what. But I think the community aspect of pre-modern has done a pretty good job of self-selecting for a very positive everything. So I think personally, the way I see it is this is going to get more people to play pre-modern. And at the end of the day, that's really all I want. If we can get more people to get, kind of like you said, get that first little bump, that first taste of what it's like, I think those people will then seek out more people, you know, more like-minded individuals to share space with and to engage in community events. And that's my hope. Maybe there's a world where this blows up and this just, like, I don't know, next year we get pre-modern Commander run by Wizards. And it's a Pro Tour format and it sucks. I don't know, but I personally have a tough time seeing this as anything other than a positive, but
there are some negatives for sure that have already kind of started to take place, like card pricing, especially on Moto, is something that I do want to touch on. Like, just in the last day, I believe Parallax Tide has gone up 20 ticks. It was like 30 ticks, and now it's 50.
Dread, not like tripled its price like today.
Yeah, and these are kind of unavoidable at the moment for Daybreak themselves. Like, I think that they should add pre-modern. If you're going to have pre-modern as a format that's supported at all, you should put these pre-modern cards in chests so that the supply of them increases. But at the moment, like, that's a secondary market thing. That's not really something that Daybreak has a lot of control over.
Yeah. No, I think adding the cards to chests would be a very... Or I actually don't know what is the pool of cards that chests pull from. Is that a publicly known thing?
I believe it is, yeah. If it's not, people talk about it as though it is. So
fair. Well, people talk about a lot of things as though they're publicly known. But yeah, no, it's... I agree, that would be, if they're not already, a lot of those staples should be added. And, you know, a pre-modern Masters or whatever, akin to some of the old, like, vintage sets that they did to increase prints of certain cards would be sweet, but I don't know how much they have to go through for hurdles. But the way I see it is, like, if pre-modern increases in, you know, the number of people that are playing it, no matter what, prices are going to go up. Does it suck? Yeah. Yes. Does it suck for people that, you know, didn't get in on the ground floor? Absolutely. I think for a lot now, you know, it's, I don't know Moto prices as well, and especially because there are some really weird cards that are pennies in paper that are oddly expensive and on Moto, but, like, I think that on average, pre-modern decks have got to still be pretty cheap. But I can't say that for sure. Actually, let's look at, all right, let's go to, like, MTG Goldfish.
So if I currently have the 400 ticks mana traders, although with, like, the bonuses, I'm up to, like, 430, and I can afford, or before they announced all of this today, I could afford basically every single deck in the format on MTGO. Now, I was just playing a league today, and I'm in my second league with Tide Control, and it's at about 410 ticks, and beforehand it was about, like, 230. And there's, like, a couple key cards per deck, I guess, that have gone up in price a bunch. Like, somehow Hydro Blast and Blue Elemental Blast have gone up even more. There are already cards that are astronomically more expensive on MTGO than they are in paper. In paper, I think you can get a blast for, like, I don't know, what, $1 if you don't care about printing. Yeah. And on Moto, it's about, it's like 16 or 17 ticks right now. But, so, like, there are, and those are cards that are played in other formats too, so there's kind of some overlapping problems with, like, expensive cards in pre-modern, that, like, I would like to see handled just across the board. Like, I don't think that there's a lot of reason for, like, these older cards, like, newer stuff like Tamiyo or whatever being expensive, I could understand that, but all these old cards that, like, could be in chests, or, like, they could have Vintage Masters or whatever to make them more accessible, I think that that's something that they should probably look into doing, just in general, but especially now if they're looking to have pre-modern be more involved.
Yeah, it's looking at, like, Goldfish, just, like, it looks like a lot of decks are in the kind of 100 to 200 ticks range, couple 250, maybe 300 ticks, but it doesn't seem like it's, you know, you're not paying 200 ticks for a playset of Quantum Riddlers or whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely not as bad as other formats. And if they are adding, like, the, well, all of the pricing and stuff to things, you can actually make back your rental cost playing pre-modern, whereas you couldn't in the past. So for all the people who, like, that's kind of a hiccup, that's less of a problem now, because with the actual league stuff, you can get chests that you can sell and whatever. I'm not even talking about, like, an EV make money thing, just as a, like, I don't like paying for my rental if I'm not making back the amount that it costs in, like, through selling chests and stuff. So I wasn't playing as much Moto pre-modern because of that, because, like, it's hard when it's the only format that you're playing and you're, like, basically paying to play it and not getting anything in return. But, like, that's kind of a nice part about prizing. But I definitely also see the concern of, like, well, if you're adding prizing to it, now you're getting all of the people who, like, double and triple queue events to, like, add pre-modern to that list of things to try and make money off of it.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I imagine there's going to be some amount of grinders, but I do like the idea of the friendly leagues especially, because I think that's going to be, like, more in line with what is being done on Gathering and the CPL today. I don't know if they're going to continue doing their thing. I'm sure they will. I'm sure they want to have that space for folks to play with the community more than playing in the leagues, but in the short term, I assume some amount of people are going to jump over the friendly leagues, which hopefully aren't going to be as filled with, you know, like, insanely sweaty, the grinders that everyone is kind of warning each other about.
And I guess that's another thing, just to, I don't even know how, well, I guess so there's two things I want to talk about there. One would be the community leagues, and just, like, do we think, I do think that is kind of a sad state A sad knock-on effect of the whole thing is that they're probably going to see much a pretty large reduction in number of players, I would think. Maybe not, but...
I, speaking from experience as someone who plays in the CPL from time to time, I probably won't, as long as MTGO has like proper pre-modern support on there. Like, it's kind of, I wish that I could, but it's kind of hard to justify playing games that don't matter when they're, you could play games that like do, if that makes sense.
I agree, Aiden. Like, I've been playing the CPL for a while now, and I, same thing, like, sometimes I also, you know, just because of, you know, life, things that are going on, I do need to be able to log in, just kind of click a button and play, and I hope that's what we really get here.
Yeah, and I guess I kind of touched on it a little bit, but, like, I also, and this is tough, I don't, you know, I don't want to, like, sound like I'm talking down on Magic Online. Like, it's obviously a fantastic tool, and I think it's a fantastic way to play the game, but there is something so special about playing paper Magic, and it really is a night and day difference, at least to me. And when you look at, obviously, the community that was built around the CPL and everything is awesome, but compared to paper events, man, it's just like, I think they're like, it's two different discussions. So I don't really think that anybody's going to be like, oh, I can play a league, therefore I'm not going to, you know, go to the next Duresque regional event, you know, because I can not wear pants and play a challenge or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I think, like, I don't also think we're going to get, like, some influx of players either. You know, there are people who are called MTGO grinders because they grind MTGO. They don't grind paper events, right? Like, I'm not really worried about that kind of, like, surge in paper popularity either.
But even if those people did start, like, even if the grinders played in some, you know, leagues or whatever, did well, sure, whatever.
Right,
and
assuming
had fun,
they're even there.
And then we're like, dude, this is actually really good gameplay, because just like I said, like with all of us, we all got hooked on the gameplay. It's so good. And then they're like, actually, I kind of do, like, there's a local shop that, you know, does pre-modern on a weekday or whatever. Like, I'm going to go to that. Like, if a grinder starts playing, sure, more people the merrier. And I think the only people that I think are, like, really down on, like, oh, the sweats are going to start playing is, it's like the same people that yearn for 2018 pre-modern, when you could play just the absolute worst decks imaginable and, you know, be quote unquote competitive with them. Go ahead.
I think as well, the concern of, like, it's was kind of a concern that, like, pre-modern had before, and especially now, of like, oh, well, the format's going to get solved now that there's a lot of attention to it. And I think that that's kind of I think that's not true for two main reasons. One, I think that there are already a lot of very good players, like pro players, who have played pre-modern and, like, put effort into deck building, and they have not, like, solved the format to any degree. And two, even if there was some de facto best deck, if you, whoever you are, like, paper-only pre-modern player, do you think that, like, at your locals, all of the people who already show up there are going to all of a sudden start playing this, like, whatever, solved best deck? Or do you think they're going to keep playing the decks that they enjoy? Like, if you look at the data that from paper pre-modern tournaments, basically every event, there's always some person who's like top 32, top 16, top 8, whatever, with a deck that, like, you know for a fact they know isn't good, but they're playing it because it's fun and, like, they enjoy playing it. And that's kind of the beauty of pre-modern, is, like, the community is all kind of like that. And, like, people just play what, like, people don't just try and play the best deck. They play what they enjoy. Because, like, if you were going to just try and play the best deck to win all the time, you'd play a format where the pricing was a lot better than what's offered in pre-modern. Like, you'd be going to RCQs or whatever. Like, you're playing pre-modern because you want to enjoy playing Magic, not because you want to win. Even if winning is a big part of it, you're never just going to be, like, oh, there's one best thing you can do. I'm going to always do that.
Yeah,
yeah, man, well said.
And I think, I mean, you can even look at, you know, our regionals. I mean, this past regional, when we had, like, a pretty quote-unquote stock goblins win, before that, for, like, 2 years, basically, every single deck that won was considered an off-meta deck. Like, it was crazy. So, clearly, you can do well in a big tournament with, you know, an off-meta deck. And I think one of the things that I have as an issue with the way that people say that, like, oh, if pre-modern gets solved or whatever, is I think even if you ran the numbers and, you know, the best deck was found, over a large enough, and obviously we have, like, the PDAP with a bunch of data on it, and the sample sizes are generally too small to actually interpret, like, or interpolate a fairly accurate, like, win rates for decks. And obviously you can't account for, like, player strengths and everything. I don't think that any deck in pre-modern, even if you solved for the best deck, would have higher than a 55% win rate. And it would still have bad matchups. Like, even in a solved pre-modern format, I don't think there's any single perfect deck that has no weaknesses and has a 70% win rate. Like, it just, it doesn't exist. There's no, the format has, for the most part, gotten, like, with a well-curated ban list, there's no clear design mistakes that are just going to you know, result in a, you know, a VV Cauldron deck that just has no bad matchups and is perfect.
Yeah, not only is I don't think it's possible for that to happen, I don't even know if it's really possible for there to be, like, a pre-modern Delver, like the 48% into everything deck that gets better post-board.
Yeah.
Like, one of the key facets of pre-modern, for better or for worse, is, like, the hosers are so good that no one deck is able to solve every possible matchup that it has to even be even. Like, every deck is going to have that, oh, I don't want to play against this deck regardless matchup. Like, there's always going to be something that's not great for you just because of the ways that cards were designed at the time that pre-modern has legality for.
Yeah, I don't think it's, like, yeah, I'm not even convinced to be solved. And, like, one thing I was interested in, I mean, obviously, like we mentioned, they do name drop Martin in the articles, and I wonder if he's going to be privy to the data that comes from these leaks. You know,
that is,
I mean,
true,
I would
actually
hope he is. You know, I'm assuming I saw him share the links around. I don't take that as, like, you know, him saying he's, like, working for Daybreak or anything, but I do wonder if they're going to clue him in and say, hey, man, like, you know, maybe once a quarter, here's what we're seeing or something, because obviously he's probably interested in it.
Oh yeah, but and they will have that
Daybreak
data.
Will even provide it, right? They're gonna have it. Yeah. So I mean, what are they gonna do with it? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that would be fascinating, and also something that I would definitely be interested in reaching out to Daybreak and say, hey, obviously, you know, we know you guys have the data, and, you know, whether they're either interested in, you know, just sharing, you know, a cliff notes of, like, you know, this is what we saw, or if they're interested in, you know, obviously it's a lot of work to ask for them to, like, sanitize the data or whatever to get rid of unique identifiers and stuff for players, but it would be fascinating to see. Going back actually to
Daybreak, just build an API for us, please.
Yeah,
just
exactly. Just let
a simple API. It's easy, and just let it give us the keys. We'll take
just
care
let
of the
us
rest.
Scrape your database of every Magic event.
Yeah.
And I guess something else I want to say just quickly before we moved on about the whole solving of the format is, even in a solved format, so the downside that comes from a quote-unquote solved format is that you no longer have the joy of deck building, because the idea being that the optimal build of everything has been found and there's no longer any more puzzle to be solved. Which, to that I would say that A, the majority of people that play Magic aren't
building decks anyways. They're, you know, largely just looking at lists they see online that have already done well and copying from there. And two, the puzzle still exists. It just gets reframed slightly differently in that because there's no single optimal best deck in pre-modern, and I don't think there ever will be, and because, like Aiden said, the hosers are so good, you get this kind of rotating meta where one deck will do really well, and then the meta will adjust, and you'll see a bunch of other decks that do well against that deck come up, and then it's just, okay, where do I want to position myself in relation to the meta? Do I want to be playing the deck that beats the deck that I think most people are going to be playing? Do I want to be playing the deck that beats the decks that beat that? And it just, the puzzle has to get reframed slightly. And I don't think that's, I think a lot of people don't understand that and don't, you know, they see it as like, well, no, it's a closed format, it's solved, therefore that's a bad thing. And there's no puzzle for me to try and crack. I disagree. I think that there totally is. It's just, you just need to frame it slightly differently. I guess moving on from that, did we have anything else that we wanted to talk about for Contraption or pre-modern coming to Magic Online or anything in general?
I kind of have, before I get into anything else, I have this kind of, I have a thought.
Go for it.
The people who are like the current paper pre-modern players who are opposed to this, I want you to think about what's the worst case scenario that comes from this. And it's probably like the price of cards in paper goes up some amount, which one, yeah, if you want pre-modern to grow, well, if you don't want pre-modern to grow, I mean, screw you, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you want pre-modern to grow, the price of these cards was already going to go up, like the reserve list cards in the format. This is just making it happen now as opposed to sometime down the road when the format would grow. And if you're worried about burnout from the format because it's too accessible to you, just don't play online. Like, it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that, like, if you're worried about all of the grinders solving the format, there's nowhere near as many of those grinders as you think, and they probably don't live near you. So your local scene, or even your larger pre-modern events, probably won't be that impacted by them coming into it and playing. And, like, I don't really understand where the people who are, like, vehemently against this are coming from, because I don't see how this is any worse, like, than just what is already happening for pre-modern. I can see how it's better, obviously, and I could see how it makes things, like, marginally worse, maybe, but, like, that's the absolute worst-case scenario where everything that could go wrong goes wrong, and pre-modern becomes slightly more expensive and maybe a little bit more solved than it is now, quote-unquote, and that's all the worst possible things happening and nothing good coming out of this. And, like, I don't see a way for it to be any worse than that, and it doesn't even seem that bad as far as Wizards becoming aware of pre-modern and trying to have some modicum of control over it.
Okay, I agree with all that. I actually would be interested, assuming he's still here. Billy, are you still here?
Oh, yes. I speak so much in the normal course of things that I wanted to not overwear it. So I am the voice of opposition.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was curious, especially, I guess the first thing I want to ask you is something that you've talked about before is the social gatekeeping in pre-modern.
Yes.
And I think that it's important as a community format, don't get me wrong, to make people aware that there is a certain expectation, and that the expectations of general engagement are maybe a little bit higher than they would be at any random event. I don't think that's...
I think there's an explicit social expectation.
For sure.
It's not as high as old school, but also old school has, like, this enormous, incredibly gatekept nature to it, but I think that, yeah, that element certainly exists in pre-modern, and I think it's not something that most other formats have.
But is, and I guess there, this is my question, is that in order to enforce that, should the format be as, you know, in general, gate-kept, and only people that maybe meet that social expectation, that bar, will seek out the format and find it? Or should the format be shared to the masses and then have maybe people that don't meet that expectation either nudged out or, you know, told to, hey, you know, shape up?
The thing is I don't want to overstate the power of this. I'm just saying that this is, my position is more that this is something I enjoy, and something I value. I'm not, so I think that it is very, very easy, to mischaracterize the argument of the opposition as the sky is falling. You know, this is, after all, a children's card game, and it's absurd to have any feelings about it whatsoever. let's just, like, leave that as the baseline. So I have some self-awareness about this. I'm kind of approaching this from, you know, love them or hate them, I'm approaching this from a Malcolm Gladwell, The Tipping Point kind of perspective. So we are not talking about, like,
expand farmers on that just for those of us that can't read.
Okay, so yeah, so it's a book about how, it's probably, it was a book written by a New York Times it's a social psychology book, or like a behavioral economics book, about how, like, fads spread. I think it was published concurrent with the popularity of the word meme, it entering the common parlance. And it's a book about how, like, fads spread, and how, like, different, the what makes the change from, like, a word of mouth social behavior to, like, a mass social behavior, and, like, what those changes look like, the methods of those changes. He used, like, sneakerhead culture as an example. And I don't think the sky is falling. Out of curiosity, when did the three of you start playing Legacy, and when did the three of you start playing EDH?
I have played Commander, or I started playing Commander in 2014.
Okay, and so you're using the word Commander, so that tells me all I need to know. Next, yes. Nick.
I started playing Magic consistently and more seriously in 2019.
Okay, Jay, I think
so. I am very new.
Like 2013 for both of them, I think.
Okay.
For Legacy, for me, it was like 2022.
Okay. So I started playing Legacy in 2009, and I started playing EDH in the same year. That was when I was returning to Magic. So I did not play continuously from, and I also was playing little kid Magic, like my Kavu tribal deck in Invasion. So I'm not a Greybeard, but I was getting tooled on by the Greybeards, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like in, you know, FNM. So the experience with EDH was very interesting in that it was, like, really cool and really creative, and people were doing all sorts of nuts stuff. And Legacy was, there was still this kind of, like, residual trauma amongst the Syracuse players who watched as they're, like, incredibly competitive and developed 1.5 scene was annihilated from the format split between Legacy and Vintage. Legacy and Vintage used to share a ban list, and it was just that the restricted list was the ban list for Type 1.5. At one point, you could play like Bazaar of Baghdad in Type 1.5, which looked quite a lot like Legacy. Dredge was originally a 1.5 deck. So the situation here, it's the sky isn't falling. You know, I don't think that our, you know, the next Rescue regional is going to be, you know, flooded with sweaties who like don't bathe or double queue or like cry about Eevee or whatever, or like try to shake the raffle ticket boxes to make an assessment about what's in there. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I just think that this is an indicator of the slow, inexorable march towards game theory optimal. And I think that this decision can be clearly identified as a step towards game theory optimal. And my experience in pre-modern has been an intense joy in both in participating in that march myself, but also like at times choosing not to. And I think that that choice to not do that will become less fun over time. And I would prefer it be slower. And I think this is just a very discrete step. It's that's out of my control. I know it's going to happen. This is my basis for supporting some kind of format rotation within pre-modern, is to help deviate from this march. But yeah, that's my position. I spoke too much already.
No, I see your position, man. And like, I get it. I see exactly where you're coming from. We've been playing this format for a long time, and we've been very privileged to play through, you know, multiple, you know, timelines of pre-modern, you know, what kind of decks we started playing with and the ones we're playing with today. There's obviously always going to be a march to game theory optimal. And maybe, you know, I think this is kind of how, you know, old school started fracturing and having their own, you know, sub formats, you know, pre-modern. I'm not necessarily saying or advocating for sub formats or pre-modern, but I think for some of the community, there are vocal groups who might start doing that. You know, they might want to start banning certain cards and playing certain cards instead because they're already nostalgic for 2021, you know, and that was only 4 years ago.
I do think there is something I want to push back a little bit on, and that's that how do I put this? The desire for their not to hasten the march towards game theory optimal, and yet nobody, when they try and build a deck, I mean, like you've always worked on building your own ways to attack different formats, Billy, and you know, when you're building out, you know, the next, you know, the newest version of Corned Beef Hash, do you not want to try and make the deck quote unquote optimal? You know, are you not trying to make the best deck? You know,
I get your point. I am actively participating in this process, mm-hmm. but we are not talking about like which farmer gets the rights to a finite amount of irrigation water. Mm-hmm. Or like who gets, you know, or people buying unifying parcels of land so that they can build one McMansion as opposed to like 4 affordable housing units.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not what's going on here. It's like there was no FOMO, there was no harm, and like we had our own private little thing and we were enjoying it and regulating it very effectively. And I don't think this is an ass take if I quite highly emphasize it. I don't think the sky is falling.
Mm-hmm.
I know that this is a, you know, I think that we are living in a really joyous experience that I'm thankful to have been a part of and that I am in it in such an active way. It's really nice. It's all thanks to you, our dear listeners. But, you know, it's like there's going to be a slow deviation from that. And in 15 years, I will probably not feel the same way about pre-modern. And I want it to last forever because I'm having so much fun now. So any change, it doesn't frighten me. It doesn't scare me but I know it's deviating from this like intense joy and thankfulness I have for what's going on right now.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I think like the important thing to take away from all this is the reason this is happening is because our community is so incredible, right?
For
like,
real.
They wouldn't even know what it is if it wasn't for like everything everybody's done, you know, and all the things that we've done. We have this insane community that, you know, this community is not going away. You know what I mean? Like, this is such a like great recognition of all the hard work everyone's put into the game that we love and the format that we love, that I think that's just kind of like what my major takeaway from all this is.
Yeah. I think there's an interesting push-pull there of like wanting the discovery and the movement and fluctuations that come with any format, and wanting to engage in those personally while also simultaneously wanting to share the format with more people. 'Cause at the end of the day, that's the thing that I care about the most, is like, if I find something that brings me joy, I want to turn around and say, like, does this bring you joy as well to the people next to me? And you know, hopefully share that with other people. 'Cause at the end of the day, it's, in my opinion, it's just about, like, spreading as much of those good feelings as possible.
Would you prefer to share this with somebody that you like, know, and like, and have some degree of like vetting with, or would you rather it be a rando? You know,
like, I don't think I wouldn't rather it be a random, but I don't.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's my statement is a rather statement. It is not a.
I think I would be, for the most part, impartial between whether it is somebody that I really care about or whether it is another. I think any random person deserves that shot at enjoyment just as much as my own mother.
All right.
Agreed. I think,
there's going to be Duress Crew Discord, now public. Everybody, hop on in.
Okay, Billy, let's not straw, man. no, so I think there's going to be some amount of work on the community. Again, hypothetical that I do not believe in is influx of randos who decide they want to stop playing online and start playing in paper. You know, if you see someone acting like a jerk, being a dick, not vibing with the community, and you know them, check them.
Oh, even if you don't.
That's not how we roll.
If you don't know them, fucking call them out. You know, or right, if you're not comfortable with that, say something to a TO or to somebody else.
Say something to me. If anyone says, as anyone is in your match and is a dick, because I hear people say these things and I don't witness it, but saying it happens, you come up to me at any event and we'll take care of it. For real. Like, I can't stress that enough, you know?
Absolutely.
Nick, that utterance is the end of my paper career. I'm cooked.
You're done. Sorry. Done. Yeah, Billy's banned. Billy's banned from Duress Crew events.
I really care about more people enjoying the format. And also, I guess, to go back to the whole game theory optimal thing, I think even if the format was, you know, quote-unquote solved, if everything was game theory optimal, I think I would still enjoy playing the format. And
yes.
I think that it is still, even at that stage of being quote-unquote solved, quote-unquote game theory optimal, it still is worth sharing the format with people. So if it means that I get to partake in the march towards game theory optimal a little bit less in order to share the format gameplay with more people, I think that's worth it. That's my personal opinion. And you can fucking Amen, suck a dick if you disagree.
All right, do we have anything else to talk about?
I don't know. I've said my piece, I think. Anybody else have anything else to add before we mic drop on that?
I think that's a great closer.
Beautiful.
Seems good.
All right. Well, boyos, I would love to thank you guys for hanging out with me on this wonderful, what day is today? Monday night?
Monday, yeah.
Can I do a couple of shout-outs?
Yeah, do it. Do it up.
Right, because when are you releasing this? The 9th?
Tomorrow? No, I'm going to try and push it out tomorrow morning.
Okay, cool. Perfect. All right, it's a couple shout-outs. I think supporting these leagues is going to be really important if you actively care about the growth of pre-modern. If you don't care about the growth of pre-modern, whatever, that's your opinion, man.
If you want pre-modern to stay small and
die. Yeah, if you want pre-modern, I'm not going to frame a position like that. I just want to give a shout-out to the CPL because those leagues are so sick. They put a lot of work in, the mods over there, the team over there, Chris and all them, Pablo, like, to really make sure these leagues fire and give, we're the first people to give pre-modern players a place to actually play a league besides, random casual lobbies and freeform. So if you are interested in playing the CPL leagues, especially if pre-modern goes through contraption and doesn't continue, you can find that at premodernseries.org. Definitely recommend checking it out because it is a great league. They have two every month. They're 2 weeks, 6 matches at your leisure. Really can't recommend it enough. If you're new to the format and you're listening to this podcast and you're wondering where to get started in MTGO with Premodern, you can check out our PDAP, Premodern Data Analysis Project, at data.derescrew.com. Yeah, is what it stands for. Data.derescrew.com. We have a matchup matrix for all different data that we pull from the community leagues for different matchups between decks, percentages, confidence intervals, all that good stuff. Definitely check that out before jumping in. And then finally, LobsterCon registration is this Sunday, December 14th, Sunday at noon. Article will be in the show notes. Jay, I'll send you the article and make sure it's in the show notes. For all the details there, registration will be through Spice Rack. Set your alarm for Sunday at noon, December 14th, because it will probably sell out
in
an hour.
This event will sell out.
I'm not joking. No joke. Don't at me at Sunday at 2 p.m. and say, wait, where's the link? What happened? It sold out. That's probably what happened. So definitely make sure you're ready for that. And finally, if you want to catch any pre-modern content, you can always find our stuff at YouTube, Twitch, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Blue Sky.
I love X the everything app.
Wild speculations, that's where you can find all our stuff.
Hell yeah.
That's all.
All right. And you guys can also catch Billy. When's the next regularly scheduled episode?
The 18th.
Is that this coming Thursday or the next one?
That's December 18th.
Yeah. Yeah, December
18th. Seems like a long time. Jeez, December. All right. Well, the next episode of Hardcast you can find on December 18th.
That is next Thursday, Jay.
No.
That's not that far away.
Well, next, not this. Yeah, whatever. Anyways, this has gone on way too long. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, dear listener. I love you. Peace.
Peace.
Bye.
Nice.